for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, February the 22nd, 2004. Final service of a ladies' conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mary Ann Flynn of Santa Ana, California, is the minister on this. Well, Mary Ann will close out this session for those of us that are still here. Thank you all for being here. And we bless all those who've had to leave and catch their planes already today. The Lord be with them also. Safe trip home, and same with all the rest of you.
Let's tell Brother Glenn again how much we appreciate what he has done, what provided a place here for us to come to. We really do appreciate it. If you're ever around him very much, you see that his shirt doesn't hardly touch his back. He's always got something to do. Yesterday, I didn't see him for a little bit, you know, around somewhere. And whenever I finally did see him, just in a casual way, he said, "Well, I got it done." And what he had gotten done was get on the tractor and go and work on that riverbed to make it prepared for the water that's going to be brought into it, you know. And I thought, my, that's sounded to me like a mammoth job, and it was just like another, you know, toothpick to him. You know, and yet I knew he was really tired, and yet he still looked sparkly last night, didn't he? And so he does things like that all the time, and we really appreciate it. And we appreciate our brother who's come, who's come and just adds such a strength here. It's just a wonderful place to come to, isn't it? Have you enjoyed the presence of the Lord today? I really enjoyed it. I really have. I just bathed in it. It reminded me. Of one of the things reminded me whenever we were dancing and celebrating. I tell you that you need to get your bones loose. The Lord loves it. And remember, I think one time I taught here about twirling around. Remember that? Yes. And what got me onto it was a couple of things that God put together. And I'll share it right quickly. I have a friend, Sharon Ingalls. She's David Ingalls, if any of you have ever heard his music. David Ingalls. A wonderful songwriter. He writes the word of God in song, and it has caused areas in Australia to absolutely come alive and turn around. It's had great impact. Billy Joe Doherty, I'm sure you've seen him on TV, has taken thousands and thousands of his tapes into Russia whenever the Iron Curtain fell, because that's getting the word there in music form. And but at any rate, his wife Sharon is such a dear, dear friend of mine, like the sister that I lost. And God replaced that sister with her, and she's a quiet person. She's very unassuming. She does the work that she does there at the radio station and the church that they have. They have several stations and several translators. And she does it all just very unobserved. You know, she's just the kind that's just, you don't hardly notice her. She doesn't stand out, and yet she's doing incredible type of works. And just a very unassuming person, and never talks about, "Let me tell you what a dream last night." Or, you know, now me, I would try to tell anything that I thought was significant. You know, it would just bless me. I'd just try to get it out there. But she's not that way. And she told me one day that the Lord gave her a dream. And so I really believe, knowing her like I do, knowing her life like I do, I believe the Lord gave her this dream. And it was, he said, "I want you to do four things. First of all," he said, "I want you to go to this brother and tell him and comfort him. Tell him, say comforting words to him because of the loss of his wife. He had lost his wife." And so she did that. He says, "Number two, I want you to go to your children." They have two. "And say, do you have a head knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ or a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ?" Number three, he said, "I want you to twirl and rejoice and count that you have the things that you need and desire, and you will have them." Now, what's the scripture for that? Can anybody? Oh, this is a good one. We may be here till one. He said if it ends at 11 or we're here till 1, doesn't matter. He will rejoice over thee. That's pretty close. Well, it's kind of a sneaky question, actually, but I'm loving these answers. You're just getting a sparkle up there. And what were you talking about, sister? Oh, praise God. Praise God. That's a good one. Find that. I'd like to add that to my repertoire. Zephaniah, read that. Yes. Singing and dancing. Got a scripture for that. Zephaniah's in the Old Testament. Has anybody found it yet? I'm feeling good this morning, folks. Brother Noe prayed for me last evening and prayed for strength. And I tell you, I woke up raring, praise the Lord. Zephaniah 3:10, was it? 3:8? 3:18? That's good. That's a chorus, too, you know. I mean, know the chorus. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. He will rejoice, and what is that? He will sing and rejoice over thee with joy, with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, mighty, mighty. Zephaniah 3:18 or 17. Zephaniah 3. Okay, and you remember whenever the disciples came back after they had been sent out by the Lord, and I tell you, they were full of joy. They were excited because they'd been casting out devils. And, I mean, it was amazing. They'd seen Jesus casting out devils, but they hadn't. And now, as he sent them out, they were also casting out devils. And they come to the Lord, and they said, Lord, even the devils, even the demons are subject to us. I mean, they were so thrilled. This was incredible. And the Lord looked at them, and it's I can kind of imagine him. And the Lord says, well, in a way, he said, that, well, that's a given, folks. That's a given, you know, because I saw Satan fall as lightning. He is under our feet. He's under what we say. I mean, this is the intent of that scripture. He says, well, you know, don't rejoice in that the demons are subject to you, because of course they are. That's your inheritance. That's part of your inheritance. You know, we were born anew into an inheritance, 1 Peter tells us. Born anew into. We weren't just born anew. We were born into, hallelujah, the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Kingdom of righteousness. And then we're born anew into an inheritance. And part of the inheritance is demons are subject to us. And if you don't know it, you'll never have any success getting them out. You have to know that you're in the covenant. And you have to know that you're in the inheritance and what your inheritance is. And that's part of it. So the Lord says, don't necessarily rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Oh, you want something to rejoice about? What did he say? But rather rejoice in that your name. That's so much greater. That's so much greater to the Lord. See, we've got to look at things from heaven's aspect. These other things are given. But the fact that God was able to reach down through the chasm and reunite man to him, because man had fallen and had no right and couldn't just cry out to the Lord because there was the break. But God was able to reunite us to him. And that's the cause to rejoice in that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then the Bible says that he began to rejoice. And you know what that word for rejoice is? He began to twirl. Hallelujah! Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah! I'm here in promise to the ages. I'm here and I'm going to die. Hallelujah! And my blood is going to ratify all of the blood of all of the animals that have been slain since the beginning of time, rejoicing that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, when I talk to my grandchildren, I tell them, do you realize that your names are written somewhere up in heaven? Have you ever thought of it like that? Actually, there's been a recording angel that has taken a pen in hand, whatever they use up there, doesn't really matter. They could use a Crayola, whatever, as long as my name is written there. Hallelujah! Our names are literally in a book in heaven. And there is literally a place in heaven where records of what we do and don't do are kept. Because, you know, the Bible says in Revelation, it says, and books were opened. The nations were gathered and books were opened. And it said, and the book of life. And whosoever's name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life was what? Cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, it says. Oh, I didn't mean to get into it quite like this, but there you are. But Jesus twirled and rejoiced because our names. He says, of course the demons are subject. See, the enemy doesn't want us to know all the power that we have. He keeps us, like I said before, timid. God doesn't really appreciate timidity. He wants us to be bold and brave. Hallelujah. Know who we are. We're children of the King. We're children of power. He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, think about it. That we receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. So I've enjoyed twirling and rejoicing. I feel like I'm right in there with Jesus, and probably some of the angels that are around this place are twirling and rejoicing, and there are angels around this place. I sat there and thought, oh, wouldn't it be nifty to kind of see a couple of them, you know? I believe that there's some that's stationed all around, stationed up down the aisle, and one on each side of the pulpit. Hallelujah. I believe that. I really do. Hallelujah. You know, nothing is hidden. Uh-huh. Oh, I like that one. I'll have to tell my husband. He'll pick it up and carry it across the country. Well, you know, in fact, this that I'm going to speak on today, it kept coming to me, and I kept thinking, no, I'm going to speak on something this, and this is new, and I'm going to speak on that. And, you know, this morning the Lord convinced me that this is what He wants me to teach on. I've noticed that our songs that we've been singing is talking about His presence. It's wonderful. And so I'm going to speak on His perfect presence. And how many of you have been feeling His presence today? That's a measure of His presence. Did you know that? And that's wonderful. And there's all kinds of measures. There's all measures of His and degrees of His presence. But I'd like to speak on getting to His perfect presence. Because in His perfect presence, you're changed. You're touched. You're never the same. Never, ever the same. Because the Shekinah glory touches you. And it never leaves. And you know whenever you are in the presence that I'm talking about. And we are going to take some time with some scriptures today, because the scriptures today are wonderful, and I think they're going to minister to you as much or more than even some of my words. But Psalms 91, and maybe we'll turn there. We'll just do it right quickly if I can turn quickly. Kind of hard for me to do it with one hand, but I'll do it. And we know what it is, but let's read it anyway. The 91st Psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So see, there is a secret place where we dwell. God has a secret place for every one of us. We can go there or not. We can live our life, or we can go there at times to the secret place. And the Bible has some marvelous promises for those who will take the time and have the knowledge of going into the secret place. And it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable or abide and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I wonder how many foes we bump into that if we'd been living in the secret place, we wouldn't have bumped into them. You know, we're going to have to now, we're getting down to the point in time whenever Satan's time, his lease is running out. He was given a lease. Adam handed him a lease. He had the lease that God gave Adam and said, replenish the earth, multiply, you know, live the good life on the earth for this amount of time. And he gave him a lease. That's really, you know, Bible scholars have studied that. And really, it wasn't forever and ever and ever. It was for a period of time. Whenever man fell, Adam handed the lease to the enemy. And he's been what? He's been the prince of the power of the air. Isn't that right? The rulers of this present darkness. He has a right. And God has not overruled that right. He's just shown him that his children will serve him and choose him over anything else and over the pleasures of the world that are not right. But it's running out now. His lease is running out. And so he has doubled his strength. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord. See, now what you've got to realize, and you've probably heard this before, but the Lord showed this to me many, many years ago before I had heard it. Probably showed it to others, but I had never heard it. It says, he who dwells in the secret place, he who knows how to get there, I'm going to tell you how. get into the secret place. He who dwells there and has a fixed place there, there is where no power of any foe can overwhelm him. Then we can say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. It all comes under the first verse. He's my God, on him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Then you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, or the evil plots and the slanders of the wicked that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. Then 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Isn't that wonderful? But the then always refers back to verse number 1, that you have found the secret place and that you are abiding there, living there. Aren't you excited about finding that secret place? My sister-in-law one time came to our house and she says, Marianne, let me tell you something. She had a real revelation. She said, there really is a secret place in God. And I turned around. I had my back to her. I was doing something in the kitchen. She's standing in. And I turned around and I says, yes, there is, and I know how to get there. And she goes, and I just let her hang for a little while. And then I began to share with her like I'm going to today. And I just love the word. All right, let's go to Psalm 27:5. We're setting the scene up. Psalm 27:5. Oh, let's read 4. See, that's my failing there. See, I always have to go up a verse or two. I have one, sweetie. I thank you, though, very much. And in Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's another song, isn't it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord and in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate and consider and inquire in his temple. All right. For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent will he hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. Here's the secret place again. If we knew all about it, it wouldn't be secret, would it? It's a secret place. You have to know the way there, because it's a secret. All right. Let's go to Hebrews, the second chapter. We're going to do chapter 2, verse 1. Since all of this is true that I'm saying, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past them and slip away. So all of these things, if you can get the tapes, be sure that you get the tapes. All of these truths that you've been hearing, it says we need to give great attention to these truths, lest we drift past them and slip away. So what I'm saying to you today, I know, is a word from the Lord, and we want to hold on to these truths, lest we slip away and drift past them. All right? Matthew 6:6. This is just a little groundwork. Well, 6:5. Also, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets and in the pews of the churches. Their voices ring out. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's not in there. That they may be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full already. But when you pray, go into your most private room and, closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. We're getting a little closer now to what I want to share. Isaiah 45, verse 3. No, let's go to Isaiah 44 first. I've got a lot of this written out, but I like to read it right. Isaiah 44, and we're going to begin with verse 26. All right, Isaiah 44:26. The Lord, who confirms the word of his servant, and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, she shall again be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah, they shall again be built, and I will raise up their ruins. The Lord who says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers. Who says of Cyrus, and you know we can put our name there, who says to the children of the Lord, he represents the children of the Lord, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd or ruler, and he shall perform all my pleasure and fulfill all my purpose, even saying of Jerusalem. Now, I want you to notice the person, Cyrus, is saying this. This isn't God now. Whenever it says, even saying of Jerusalem. Now, he is quoting what this person has said. He is my shepherd, okay? Even saying of Jerusalem. Now, this is the person says this. She shall again be built. And of the temple, your foundation shall again be laid. Do you see, God is quoting the people, what the person said. And God, we need to give him words that he can quote that we said. You know what I'm saying? Remember whenever I said that the Lord told me, whenever I told the Lord, I'm sorry we didn't pray for our trip. And remember the Lord spoke to me down the road a little further after we had escaped incredible danger. And our new car could have gotten bumped up too quite a little bit that we had leased. And remember the Lord said to me, you know, but you did pray. And remember I kept saying, Lord, but I didn't pray because, you know, we didn't have a formal prayer of Lord, watch over us and keep us safe, and you know, like you do in the car. And I kept saying, no, we didn't pray. And finally, remember, I said, all right, Lord, fair enough. Then when did we pray? And the Lord quoted my words back to me. He said, when you, in case anyone wasn't here, whenever you prayed for the breakfast, you said, and he quoted me back, and Lord, give us traveling mercies. That's what I said. That's the way I pray a lot of the times. And Lord, give me traveling mercies. We need to begin to make statements that gives the Lord power to not only go and do, but to quote us. Hallelujah. I mean, get the revelation of this scripture. He's saying something incredible about this one Cyrus, which, you know, he represents us. Even saying of Jerusalem, see, he was saying what God wanted to hear. Jerusalem shall be built again. She shall again be inhabited. Hallelujah. This is something dear to God's heart and all through the Word of God. No matter how much he loves all of his children, he has also chosen Jerusalem. He says that. He loves Jerusalem. He loves that place. Hallelujah. He loves the city. He's watching over it because of David, because of a promise made way back to David. Even saying of Jerusalem, she shall again be built, and of the temple, your foundation shall again be laid. We need to say out loud and to one another things that God wants to hear. I love you. No, I didn't notice that. Oh, that didn't bother me. No, I love you. Goodness, I want to be, you know, all of these wonderful things that God wants to hear, then he can act on them. Hallelujah. That's just good. That's just a good revelation. And verse 40, and now chapter 45, jump down there. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him. And I will unarm and ungird the loins of kings to open doors before him, and that gates should not be shut. How would you like that? He's holding your hand. He's watching over you so that, and he's going to go before you, and whenever there's a closed door, he's just going to open it up. Hallelujah. And gates that should be shut or open, he's just going to take care of them right away. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing that God wants to do for us and for his children. He's no respecter of persons. I will go before you and level the mountains to make the crooked places straight. How many of you have quoted that? Now, see, you know how you've been quoting it. Well, go back up to the last few verses of the previous chapter, and then you get a good insight of how powerful we really are. And our words are powerful. And whenever we begin to realize that our words aren't just little tiny things that we speak, and as they speak, they just kind of dissipate into the air. But no, they don't. And we'll be like, who was it? Isaac, who respected his words. He knew whenever he said something that it mattered and it counted. And if it had anything to do with inheritance or anything about God, that it could be set in cement. And so whenever he blessed Jacob instead of Esau? Why, probably, if I'd have been Isaac and I'd have done that and blessed the wrong boy, blessed the younger instead of the older, especially if I was partial to that older boy. And here comes the older boy finally after the blessing had been spoken and given to Jacob, the younger boy. Here comes the older one saying, "Here I am, bless me." And he says, "Well, I've already done it. Who are you?" And he says, "No, I'm Esau. I'm your son. I'm your eldest. I've come for the blessing." When they pronounced blessings, it stuck. When Jacob blessed his sons, it stuck. Hallelujah. And if we would regard our words even as much as we do Isaac regarded his. And he says, "Oh my goodness, you know, your brother has come in and deceived me, and I have given your brother that blessing." And Esau says, "Oh no, you can't." And he says, "I've given it to him." Now me, I'd have probably said, "Oh, cancel. All right. Okay, now, we got the right one here." But Esau said, "No, when I said it, those words meant something. I gave him that blessing. God's going to honor that. He's going to walk in that kind of blessing." See, he had that kind of knowledge. We need that kind of knowledge and walk in that knowledge all the time. That's why the Lord says whenever you enter a place, whenever you enter your kid's home and your grandkid's home, your neighbor's home, it says that you're supposed to bless that place and put your peace. Put your peace. Of course, if you don't have any peace, it'd be hard to put it. That's why we need to walk in peace. Take care of it. It's hard to do. But it says put your peace. And, you know, we're to bless the household. Lord, bless this household. May peace come to this household. May peace reign in this household. And the Bible says that if you've got, it doesn't say this, but I say this, if you've got peace to give, and if there's those that says, "Oh, peace has been spoken over this household. Oh, this is what we need here. We need peace in this household." It says, if any is worthy, in other words, if they're receiving and believing, this is why we always satisfy and seal something to ourselves whenever it's spoken and it matches up with the feelings and desires of our heart. We're to say, "I receive that in Jesus' name. You know, I seal that to myself." And it says, the peace that you desire, if they will receive it, if they will act on it, or if they will just not come against it, it says that peace will rest on them. And it says, if it's not received, the peace which you created will come back to the Creator. Isn't that right? It says the peace that you set out there, if it's not received, it will come back to you. We are creators. How many of you know you can create quite a little bonfire with your mouth? The Bible talks all about that. But if we are using it for good, if we are speaking out power, and we are speaking out good things over our children and over our neighbors around about us, whether they're nifty or not, you know, hallelujah, it gives God an opportunity to move. In that respect, just like we said, I don't know if I finished this. The God of peace, whenever I started out speaking yesterday, the God of peace, the peace that you maintain in a circumstance, do you remember that? Will shortly bruise Satan under your heel. The God of what you're saying, because that's what your heel is. It's what you're saying. It's your words. Remember? It's what your tongue is speaking. We can't get Satan underneath of these heels. We get him under what we declare. That's why Jesus told the disciples, he says, "You don't understand right now what I'm doing while I'm washing your feet. But I'm telling you, you're clean because I washed your feet. You don't need to be a bath all over to be the kind of clean I'm talking about." And remember, I said we need to wash one another's words. Whenever someone is discouraged, someone's coming up, someone's complaining, in the wisest way we can, we need to wash their words, wash their feet. It'll please the Lord. Get them to talking a little different. If you go and you're in their presence and you're always complaining and negative, have you ever been around a complaining and a negative person for a few hours? And did you ever notice whenever you leave and you get home, you feel kind of complainy and negative-y? Have you ever noticed that? I have. You know, let's wash one another's feet. And so we guard what we say. It is so terribly important. And I will give you, verse 3, I will give you the treasures of darkness. That means the unknown. Things you don't know. I've got some treasures that you don't know about, but I'll give you those treasures. And hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. Oh, look, how wonderful. I'll give you the treasures of those secret places. Come in there, look around. If you see something you want, take it. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. I think maybe we'll just skip over that one right there. Psalm 6, verse 22. Is that right? Psalm 6? No, can't be, because maybe it's Isaiah 6:22. Nope. Well, then we'll just skip that one. All right. Psalms 31, verses 20, 21, and 22. You're going to know where Psalms and Isaiah are pretty soon. Okay? Psalm 31, verse 20. In the secret of your presence. Oh, did I read this? You hide them from the plots of men. You keep them secretly in your pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous loving favor when beset as in a besieged city. Anybody been beset as in a besieged city? Well, the Lord's speaking to us today. He gave me this today. Let me tell you. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous loving favor when beset as in a besieged city. See, God is going to lift. He gave me this because God is going to lift some of these things off of your life. And he's going to straighten them out without you having to do some of the things you've planned to do and say some of the things you've planned to say. God's going to straighten it out. That's why we're taking time with this right now, because we're discovering some good secrets. And the Lord, if he hadn't dealt with me, I wouldn't probably be teaching on this today. As for me, I said in my haste and alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. But you heard the voice of my supplication when I cried to you for aid. Hallelujah. And so we cry to him, and he takes care of it. In the secret of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men, and you keep them secretly in your pavilions from the strife of tongues. The strife of tongues can break you down if you're not careful. Believe me, I know. All right, Psalm 16. You don't have to go to that, because I'll tell you what it says. Psalm 16 and verse 11 tells us, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Our sister brought that out the other night. You know, there's all levels of joy. But in the perfect presence I'm talking about, in that presence, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Fullness. Not measures, but fullness of joy. 1 Chronicles 16:27. Don't have to turn there. I'll tell you what it is. It says, honor and majesty are found in his presence. Strength and joy are found in his sanctuary. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Yearn for and seek his face and to be in his presence continually. Seek the Lord and his strength. Yearn for and seek his face and to be in his presence continually. Because there's incredible healing. There's wholeness in his presence that nothing else will bring. And I just want to remind us of Esther. You know, if you can take almost any story in the Word of God, and you can see the power of his presence, because Esther was the queen. She had all of these maid servants, everybody to draw her bath. It was wonderful. But she was getting ready. Her life was threatened, and the life of her uncle and the life of her people were threatened. And it didn't do her any good that she had all these pretty clothes and all of these servants, and to bring her in anything that she could think of that she wanted to eat. I mean, she was queen of the land. What did she have to do in order to save herself and her uncle and her people? What did she have to do? Yes, but what did all that lead to? Hey, that's good. There's some revelation here. She fasted. She obeyed. You know, she had to obey her uncle, and she put her life on the line. And the only thing that was going to save them was that she go in to the presence of the king. Isn't that right? She could have fasted till the cows come home if she didn't go into the presence of the king. Fasting prepared her for the presence. Oh, I like that. Hallelujah. And all of these other things prepare us for the presence. Yearning and desiring and thinking about it and missing him. That all prepares us for the presence of the Lord. And because we yearn and we think about it and we desire it. And have you ever thought, Lord, I miss you. Haven't seen you in a while. Have you ever been like that? Yeah, sometimes I'm just there and all of a sudden this yearning comes. I think, oh, Lord, I miss you so much. He's enticing us to come in to his presence. For there he can make us whole in a lot of ways. He can endue us with wisdom. Hallelujah. He can do many things in his perfect presence that we just kind of get little snatches of and little visions of as we walk along, and we're satisfied with just a little bit of the presence. We should never be satisfied with just a little bit of it, but she had to go into the presence of the king. And in the presence of the king,
Her problem was solved. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? There's things that nothing but the presence of the Lord will take care of. Psalm 95. Okay, so now. Does everybody now want to know how to get there? Yes. Two of you raised your hands. That's wonderful. I know probably some of you already know how. But I'm going to tell you anyway. Psalm 95, verse 2, and you don't have to turn. It says, let us come before His presence with, never without, with giftings. You don't come to the presence of the Lord. I mean into His presence, into His secret place, without bringing a gift. You just don't do it. And so it says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful present, and that will bring us into the presence of the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, come before His presence with singing. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And I'm telling you that we can pray, we can do a lot of things, but there is an entering into His presence. And you do it with purpose of thought. And you're willing to be there until you know that you're in His presence. And you're unwilling to leave that place without His presence. I probably shared this little incident that happened to me. But one time, it's been a few years back now. You know, I just wanted the presence of the Lord. The house was empty. I wanted to talk to Him. I missed Him, and I just wanted to just talk with Him. In fact, not even any real needs. You know, some things press us to where. But not even real, except just Him. And you know what I did? I know, I understand what enter into your closet means. You can enter into your closet while you're driving down the freeway. You just enter into, you know, you just let your heart come out, and you enter into this closet right here, and you just begin to love on the Lord, and you don't turn on the car radio or even the tapes that you've got on hand to put in there. You just enter into your closet and you talk to Him. Sometimes I pray in the Spirit. Sometimes I talk in the Spirit. Sometimes I interpret to myself whenever I have spoken. It's wonderful going down the road and entering into your closet. But I had a big closet that I could get into. You know, the door opened and there was, you could put your clothes on both sides and whatever else was down there, belts and purses probably down, you know, how it happens in a closet that nobody can see but you. And so I thought, you know, I'm just going to go in the closet. And in fact, I didn't even realize, you know, I read a little earlier, it says go into your most private room and seek the Lord. Isn't that something? I read that earlier. It was one of our earlier scriptures. If you've got it, you'll have it in your notes. And I thought, I just want to go in there. And so I walked in and I shut the door and I just got down in amongst everything, you know. And I just began to pray. And I prayed like I usually do. You know, I probably prayed, first of all, for the Lord to give me for all my faults and my flaws and my failures and all of the things, you know, that I wanted to get out of the way. And I think that we should do that regularly and clean ourselves up as much as we can. And then, you know, I don't know, I might have made some needs known and asked Him to be with us and probably watch over Chuck. I don't remember that. But it seemed like in a little bit, you know, I was just kind of finished praying. And I was finished and I stopped. You know, that's another good thing. When you're finished, stop. Some people don't. It's a real good thing. And, you know, I had brought everything that, you know, came out of my soul. And so I just knelt there, and I just didn't want to leave, and I just more and more I didn't want to leave, and more it was just like a wonderful little cathedral there where I was, and it was just coming on me, and a chorus came into my mind, and I just let it waft, the words of it waft through my mind, and everything that happened, it was just bringing this little cathedral, this little area, and all of a sudden to me, I realized why it was so grand and why it was so wonderful there, that there I was in the presence of the Lord. I mean, I had the knowledge and I had the sense that only God can give you. That He was there and He was seated. His knee was right there beside where I was. You know, I kind of leaned over just a little bit so that my head would touch His leg. You can do that in His presence.
I found that out. It's so personal. It's so real. It's not something you imagine, because it wouldn't bring the kind of joy and the kind of change. And I'm not the same. I've had the Shekinah touch me. Hallelujah. All of us. And we have that. And I have access to that more than I take advantage of it. Isn't that a shame? And so I'm just there. And I thought, ooh, I don't want to move anything, change anything, speak. I was almost afraid to breathe because I am here now in this presence. And it's, I know it's the Father. See, he gets in your knower. You don't know how you know some things. Sometimes he shows me things, and I don't even know how he interpreted something that he has shown me, and I have the interpretation of what he showed me. I don't even know how I got it. I just understood it. If I would have seen it in the natural, I wouldn't have known what it meant. But in this, you know, and so there I am, and I'm just basking. I'm basking. I'm being flooded all over until, you know, tears begin to come, and I'm not crying. They're just falling out my eyelids, you know, and I'm thinking, this is so glorious. I can hardly stand it. And then all of a sudden I thought of something, and I realized something I'd never thought of before. And I realized that without thinking about it, that I could talk to the Father without opening my mouth. And I said to the Lord something really, to me was dear and precious and from the center of my heart. And I said, oh, I know what you did to me whenever you made me. Got it figured out. I said, when you made me, you fixed a place in my heart that nothing fills and satisfies like this till I come to you like this. And I thought I had really told him something, maybe make him smile. I had no thought in my mind that he might answer me. No thought at all. And I've heard the voice of the Lord, not audibly, but I've heard his voice many a time. And whenever it comes, you know it's him. You know it's his voice. It doesn't come very often. And he instantly answered me. And he said, and there is a place in my heart that nothing fills but you. You know, you had to know it was God speaking, which I did, in order to know how I felt. I mean, it filled me up to the brim. I'm still full to the brim just over that. Hallelujah. Last year, lifetime. But what more would he say to me? What more would he say to you if you would take the time and go in and say, Lord, I crave you. I hunger you. You're my vital need. You're such a necessity. I just don't want to go another day without just being in your presence. Lord, you don't have to bless me. Just let me be in your presence. That will be the biggest blessing I could ever have. Remember, I brought out the first day that I spoke. And I said, we've got to realize that blessings are good and we need them. Hallelujah. But they will never take the place of his presence. His presence is the fullness of joy. His presence changes you. It touches you. It gives you it pulls you inside the heart of God like you had never been before, if you've never entered into that presence. And some I've never talked to just everybody individually, but I believe some have never even known that. I had not known it up until a very long time. You know, I've been saved many, 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 many years before I knew that. But now I know it, and I know how to get there. It's through bringing our offerings of praise. It's through bringing our offerings of worship. It's through taking the time to love on him. Whether somebody's standing in front of us saying, now lift your hand, give him the glory, twirl. Go ahead, it's all right, you won't be embarrassed. No, no, we're doing it all out of the craving of our heart. Because we love him so, we need him so. If the blessings are great, Lord, thank you for them. But I want you. I must have you. Hallelujah. How pleased he would be and what he would do for us. The power and the presence that would be over our homes. Hallelujah. I'm sure you have, and we've had people walk in our home and they say, oh, it just feels so good here. There's so much peace here. You know, in fact, a painter came in. He was a Christian. But he said, oh, I just love to be here. It's just a wonderful thing. I just feel the presence of the Lord. It's so peaceful. Hallelujah. We can put our peace. Hallelujah. You touch the kind of glory and it touches you. Let me tell you what, you know what peace is. And it does pass understanding. And it's so necessary. And so let's think about it. We can come into his presence with our thanksgiving. With our confessing of who he is. We use all of these giftings. We leap before him. Sometimes whenever I'm praying with my sister-in-law, we'll say, let's just clap. Because clapping is a gift. And you know, you think, oh, I know. I know what I did the last time that I came into his presence. And I felt that sense of awe in his presence and the Shekinah glory. So this is what I did. I clapped and then I began to praise. Well, you know what? The next time you may clap and you may praise and he may not lift you up into his presence. Because there's thanksgiving. There's singing in the spirit. Hallelujah. There's leaping for joy like the Armenians used to do. They could leap as high as the pulpit. They were called the holy leapers. Hallelujah. Or jumpers. I forget which it is, but same thing. Hallelujah. There's many things. And whenever we see someone dancing before the Lord, they're giving a gift to the Lord. Hallelujah. They're entering a little bit deeper into his presence. There's many measures of his presence. Whenever we're here, we feel his presence. Have you ever felt the goosebumps start on your head and just kind of press down as they go all the way down your body or all the way down your legs and all the way into your feet? That's another measure of his presence. Isn't that wonderful? But I tell you, the perfect presence, I've described what it is and how we get there. And we get there with purpose in our mind. Hallelujah. And you know, the Bible says the trumpet can praise him. That's a praise. The harp, sometimes you can sit at the piano and just begin. Have you ever done that? Closed your eyes and just begin to play some choruses to him. Or maybe just sing. Whatever these giftings are, God loves that we bring giftings. We can clap. It says that we're to make use the flute, cymbals, shouting unto God. That's a gift to the Lord. He says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with what? A voice of triumph. You know what? Whenever you're shouting with a voice of triumph, this is pleasing the Lord because you're saying, I believe every word you said. I'm going to triumph. Your people are going to triumph. Hallelujah. The enemy is under my feet. You have brought me into a marvelous inheritance. Hallelujah. And he loves to hear that, yay, that voice of triumph because it's telling him we believe what he has promised us. And of course, I brought out about the 10 lepers, you remember the other night. How, and that really is a good way to show the dimensions of his presence. Not his but we don't want to ever substitute his presence and the feeling of blessing of his presence, because blessings are a form of his presence. We never want to substitute anything like that for going into his perfect presence, where we are changed, where everything is completely different. And never is the same again, exactly the same again. But for you who don't remember, I spoke about the 10 lepers that the Lord said, they asked for healing, and he said, all right, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. We know the story so well. One turned around, had a fresh vision of Jesus. There he is, the great high priest. Runs to Jesus. His thanksgiving, his praise, His love for this man who has cleansed him brings him in, and his thanksgiving brings him into the presence of the great high priest. And what does Jesus say? We'll repeat that again. He said, we're not 10 cleansed. Think of the seeming controversy here, but think about it. Whenever God blesses us, whenever he touches us, he wants us to have a fresh new revelation of Jesus. Hallelujah. It can happen. One time I was down on my knees praying, and I needed help from the Lord. It was, you know, a help call, SOS. You know, and I had nobody there to agree with, because if two of you agree. And so I didn't even know it. Out of my lips began to come, and I agree with Jesus for this. I agree. And I thought, wait a minute, excuse me. Can I do this? And I thought, well, I must can. I'm going to do it. Praise God. You know, I guess I had a fresh new revelation of him. He's up there. He's for me. He died for me. He cared for me. And he can agree with me. In fact, it says he makes intercession with the Father. You know what we say? We say, Lord, you're going to get me out of this mess. And Jesus, our great high priest, turns to the Father. And he says, here is their sacrifice. And they say, you're going to get them out of this mess. And the Father said, they said that? Yes, they said that. Well, then get them out. Hallelujah. We need to know the privilege that we have as children of the Lord and live in it. And again, as we're saying all through this conference in different ways, we should try not to be so self-centered that we can't think about how the Lord looks at things and how we ought to be looking at things just like the Lord does and perceive them. You know, may God give us the eyes of our Father. We're born again. May we be born again with the eyes of our Father. We don't care what else we look like, just so our eyes look like him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we find out that the one who came with his giftings,
came into the... Jesus said, how many? I cleansed 10. Let's see, that means 9 are missing. Where are the other 9? Behold, thou art made whole. There's a wholeness in the presence that you don't get with the blessing. They were blessed. Hallelujah for it. That's wonderful. And they were cleansed, but they weren't restored. You know what I'm saying? This man was made whole. He said he made a difference right away between them. There's a difference between the presence and the blessing. He made a difference between them. When you come to the Lord with your thanksgiving, you come into His presence, there is a difference made. But I've got another good one that I love. And I always love to talk about, and I'd probably close with this, the two on the road to Emmaus. Remember that? We all know the story of the two disciples. They'd been in Jerusalem. They'd been with the Lord a lot. Remember, the Lord had lots of disciples besides the 12. He sent 70 out one time. They were the ones that came back. They were so thrilled that even the demons were subject to them. It was a wonderful thing. And so two of the disciples that had been with the Lord, and they had witnessed His death, and they're going and they're walking on the road back to their hometown. It's a town about 7 miles east, maybe a little southeast of Jerusalem. I've been in Emmaus. And in fact, I stood underneath, what is the seed that's the smallest of all the garden herbs? Mustard. I've stood under a mustard tree. That's quite an interesting thing to do. I'm here in a mess standing under a mustard tree. It impressed me because I'm thinking of the two on the road to Emmaus where they live. And they're walking along and they're talking about what has just happened, because Jesus has just been crucified a couple of days before. They saw Him crucified. They knew that He, or had always believed, that He was the Son of God. He was God, you know, who was going to turn things around and who was going to fix things. They watched Him heal the sick. They knew what a powerful man He was. They believed He was the Son of God. He had to be, because look at what He did. And yet they saw Him die. Maybe they saw even Joseph take Him down and wrap Him up for burial. Remember? Off of the cross. And they're walking along and they're saying, how could this happen? Can God die? Well, did you see Him die? Well, yes, He died. He was pronounced dead. He died before even those other two that were on the crosses. You know, they didn't have to break His legs. They just pierced His side. In fulfillment of prophecy. God doesn't miss a lick. Hallelujah. And they're walking along like that. And of course their hearts are broken because He has been crucified. And so many things they didn't understand. And the Bible says, and the essence of it, if you study into it, the essence of it is, in fact, it's pretty plain, at least it is in the Amplified, and I've forgotten kind of how the King James brings it out. But what happens is Jesus, fresh from resurrection. Hallelujah. I mean, just fresh out of resurrection. He joins Himself to them, but not right up beside them. He joins Himself behind them a little bit. And as He's kind of catching up and getting a little closer, and they're just talking away. Yeah, well, I know. Well, did you see it? Well, yeah, I'm sure. Well, yeah, you know. Well, He was declared. They're just talking like this, and finally, they notice somebody is catching up to them, and they stop and turn around, and well, hello, stranger. They didn't recognize Him at all. They had no idea who this stranger was. And Jesus speaks, and He says, "Well, you really are absorbed in conversation." Yeah. What was it about? What are you talking about? Think of how personal Jesus is. Think of how personal He had to be. He knows everything. And they said, oh, we were discussing, you know, the things that happened in Jerusalem. What did Jesus say? He said, what things? Yeah. What things? Something go on in Jerusalem? Meet Jesus. This is Jesus. You get to talking about Him, He's going to move in and listen, and He wants to know what things. You know, it's just saying, Lord, thank You for blessing me and thank You for helping me. What did I do? How,
Well, you know, whenever you know you know, we were going to buy this car and it was not too good of a car and didn't sound too good, but we needed a car and that's all the money we had. And but yet all of a sudden you gave us such favor with the car salesman that he took us over and he says, listen, I'll let you pay the rest out in low payments that we could do. Yeah, that's what he wants to hear. How did I bless you? Well, instead of saying, well, the car. Oh, what do you mean? Well, you know how, Lord, that we couldn't afford it, and yet look how you begin to deal. And look how, he wants to hear the details. You know, whenever I give something to my grandkids, and I've given it a lot of thought, and I went out and hunted in the streets to get what they wanted, I want to know all about it. How they feel. And they are, they're little ones that express. They express them. Well, they're 13 and 10 now, but they're my babies. God gave to me. I feel sorry for the mother and dad that had to work, but I got all the blessing. Hallelujah. I tell you, I had them from 6 weeks old. It was wonderful. But you know what? Whenever I buy them stuff, in a little while, where is the so-and-so I got you? Oh, yeah. Well, are you using it? Oh, yes. And if they go ahead and say, you know what I did? I made a little pillow with it. And I, you know, then I'm just, ugh, I feel all the better. You know? You know. You just want to know what thing. What did you like about it? Did you really like it as much as you thought you were going to like? This is what Jesus says. He says, what things? And what do they do? Oh, they're looking at each other. He must be a stranger. Are you strange? You must have just hit town. Well, I just hit the devil. I just took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from him. That's what you mean. I'm paraphrasing. I shouldn't carry it too far. But you see, my imagination goes and goes. But they thought he must be a stranger in town. If he's asking what things happened in Jerusalem, the whole world knows that. But he wanted them to enunciate how they felt about it. Well, you know, we believed he was God, God's son. We saw him do miracles. We saw him raise the dead. We saw him give us power. And we had power to heal people. And we had power to cast out demons. And then he died. They were able to kill him. How could this be? Because, you know, we believe that he was coming to do a great thing for the earth. And yet he's gone. And I imagine Jesus said, well, you know, it makes sense. If you go back to Moses, and then after Moses, and of course he began to open up Moses. And if you go back to Isaiah, and what Isaiah said, and he began to open up the scriptures. And he began to take him back to all the scriptures. I'll tell you what, the Old Testament is as new as the New Testament. The Old Testament, everything is Jesus. And every illustration of everything and every story you read represents Jesus in the Old Testament. And don't ever let anyone tell you the Old Testament's history. Huh. Well, it's living today. Still living alive today. And it says he went back and he began to teach them, beginning with Moses. And he opened up the scriptures. And as he's opening it, what's happening to their hearts? You know, they're walking about 2 feet high off the ground. I would be. Here, the resurrected Son of God is talking to me. His words are going into my body, into my ears, into my soul, and the very presence. And he's explaining everything. And whenever they get to his... Now, I like this. They're being so blessed. The Bible says that they said our hearts were burning within us. It was a wonderful feeling. You know, we're just carried along as he opened up the scriptures to us. And we were understanding everything. It was made as clear as it could be with what he was saying and with this wonderful voice that was talking. And then they said, "Woo, we're here. Here's where we live. We're here. We're here already." And he says, "Oh, well, great. It's been nice talking to you. And you just have a good day now and get plenty of rest. I know you must be tired." They could have let him go on because the Bible says he made as if he would go on. And I wonder how many times he blesses us, answers our prayer, makes us feel good, gives us those wonderful goosebumps that just kind of renews us. And then he says, well, I'll be going now. And we say, okay, see you next Sunday. So wait just a minute. I like the blessing. And I like the way you answered that prayer. And the letter came just in time. And I just appreciate that. But now you come on in here. Let's go on in here. I want to get down on my face before you and tell you what I think of you. In my opinion, he will come in and listen to what you have to say. He will stand there and listen to you praise Him and thank Him and tell Him how much it meant to you. And you know, fortunately, the two disciples, I imagine they might have almost had to grab hold of his arm. Wait a minute. No, don't go. No. You must be tired too. Oh, it's okay. I don't want to impose. Really, you probably want to rest now. Maybe turn on TV. You know, the news is coming up. Or the big game. What is that game? It's called something. I try to put it out of my mind. Super Bowl. Okay, so long. They said, wait just a minute. Do you think, and I'm paraphrasing again, but they must have said something like, wait a minute. Do you think that you're going to take time opening up the scriptures and being so good to us, and then we're just going to say goodbye without blessing you in some way? No, you're not going anywhere. You come on in this house. You're going to get your feet washed, your face washed all up, and you're going to have a bite to eat and rest yourself, and you can spend the night if you want. I imagine they said something pretty close to that. I would have, wouldn't you? Somebody make me feel like that? My heart burning within me? Hallelujah. Just the majesty of that voice would have been enough to carry you along. And the Bible says, he let them persuade him to stay. That's Jesus. That's this one that we think lives way up there. I tell you, he lives right here within us. The fullness, the Bible says, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And they manifest themselves in different ways. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. And we find out that whenever they sat down to eat, probably been resting, maybe washed up a little bit. The Bible doesn't say that, but that's probably what they did. They were very careful about washing hands and things like that. And then he sits down to dinner. And I just imagine, you know, can you imagine inside of the Lord's heart and mind as he lets himself be persuaded to go in and stay with them for a little while? I imagine he's thinking, oh, let's see, how am I going to reveal myself to them? How am I going to let them know that it's me? And I imagine that gave him as much joy as just about anything at that time. I would be, you know. Let's see, how am I going to do this? I know how I'll do it. I'll do it at the breaking of bread, because that symbolizes my body. And whenever I break the bread, I reveal myself to him. And of course, that's exactly what happened. As he sat at meal, he reaches over, and I imagine the joy that he has is probably, we'll probably never know it. And he reaches over and he takes a piece of bread and he breaks it open. And as he's breaking and giving thanks to his Father, the Bible says their eyes were opened and they were ushered immediately into his presence. He had done his work and he left. And there they sat, I imagine, with their faces in shock and their lower chin on the table. It filled them so much. It did so much for them. The blessing, the incredibleness of that. I'd like to talk to them when I get there, wouldn't you? Just sit down and let them tell me the whole story all over again. It gave them so much strength that the Bible says they turned around and walked all the way back to Jerusalem. They went right back. They got to the disciples and they said, he is alive. We've been with him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the Lord that we serve. This is how much he loves us. This is how much he cares for us. And this is the advantage we have, that we can go in to the secret places and we can take care of so many things in the secret places. Hallelujah. He loves us so much. Let's just tell him how much we love him. Minister to him for a little bit. No, just minister to him for a little bit. Just tell him how much you love him. Lord, we praise you and we love you. Oh, we appreciate you, Lord. Lord, forgive us when we just take the blessings, Lord, and we don't talk to you about it, Lord. Father, forgive us whenever we think you don't have time for somebody as little as us, as nothing as us, Father. Help us to know that you love your children all the same. Father, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord. From this day forward, Lord, we want to come into your presence, Lord. We want to know you like you want us to know you. Just talk to him for a minute. Just enter into your little closet there. Just, you know, get out of self. Get out of the center of self and just begin to talk to Him, just in your own way. You know, be doers now of the Word. Hallelujah. Love Him. Minister back. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him back. Tell Him what you think of Him. Hallelujah. And bring up. Tell of His wonderful works. He loves to hear that. Hallelujah. Tell of Him, of His wonderful works. When the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, and all the men from different countries and different dialects came, they began to say, we hear these people speaking. And they're speaking in all kinds of tongues that they don't know. They're not from my little village. They don't know my language. And they all begin to say, but you know what they're doing? They're recounting the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. They're recounting the wonderful works of God. And Chuck, look up the wordage there whenever Mary is saying, whenever she's about, you know, 3 months along, pregnant, she with the Lord Jesus Christ, and she's praising the Lord, and she is saying, He has done to me wonderful or great things. And that means she was recounting the wonderful works of God. Just recount to Him His wonderful work. He loves this part because you're ministering to Him. You're ministering to His heart. Fill that place in God's heart that He's made just for you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Recount His wonderful works. If you can't think about anything wonderful about what's happened to you lately, just think about what He has done. There's always those things that He wants to know what about it. I let you come here. I kept you in health. You were strong enough. Hallelujah. Your car made it all the way here. Thank you, Lord. We were kept safe. Oh, God. Oh, how great are Your thoughts to me. Remember the thoughts that He has of us? Hallelujah. How many they are. He tells us in Psalms 139. And You wrote all the days of my life. Hallelujah. You gave me my blonde hair. You gave me my black hair. You gave me my brown eyes. You gave me my blue eyes, my green eyes. Because You wanted me. And that's what He is. There's no biggies or little ones. Isn't that wonderful? And God, He loves all of His children just the same. We're all the same size in Him. The same greatness in Him. Hallelujah. He sees us in the fullness of the greatness He's called us to. He sees us in the path that He's written for us. Just me. I have a path. You have a path. Just you. That was made up, made to order, special order just for you. Tell Him. Just love Him. And you know, if you have to let some things go in your heart that's been hurting you, someone, something, say, Lord, I just let it go. I just let it go. Like some little kid, don't know any better. Daddy says, now you just forget that. And that little old kid just forgets it. Lord, let me be just that little old kid and let it drop. The Bible says, let it drop. Let it drop. Let it go. Be free in me. Don't let anything tangle your feet up when you fall. Keep stumbling and falling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's laid it out ahead of time for each one of us. Let's get on that path. Let's make sure we're on it. Ephesians 2:10. Walking in paths that He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life. Hallelujah. What God sets out is good. If you've not been on that path, get on it right now. Get on it right now. Thank You, Jesus. You know, if you don't talk to Him now, this is the best time. Let Him do some changes in your thought patterns. You know, if you forget about yourself, the Lord will never forget about you. He'll never. He never fails. He tells us that He will not lose His hold on us. Assuredly not. Assuredly not. Hallelujah. While our heads are still bowed and we're just talking to the Lord, let's tell Him this song. Let's just sing this to Him. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, for Jesus never fails again. Jesus never fails. Just tell him as you're talking to him. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, for Jesus never fails. Sing it again and tell him. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, for Jesus never fails. Jesus, here's my cry. Tell him, Jesus, you hear my cry. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, for Jesus never fails. Jesus answers prayer. Jesus answers prayer. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, for Jesus and he never fails. Jesus, here's my cry. Jesus, see, here's your cry tonight, today. My cry. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, for Jesus he never fails. Jesus loves me so. Tell him, Jesus loves me so. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, because Jesus loves me so. For Jesus loves me so. Let's give him a praise. Raise your hands to him and praise him. Praise you, Lord. Tell him what you think of him. Tell him out loud what you think of him. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you're perfect, Lord. Lord Jesus, you're just what I need. Lord Jesus, you satisfy like nothing satisfies. Lord Jesus, I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. Lord, I must have you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, you mean more to me than anything else. Lord, I thank you for dying for me. Thank you for going all the way to the cross. Thank you for shedding your blood, Lord. When you could have called 10,000 angels, Lord, you didn't do it because, Lord, you had me in mind. You had us in mind, Lord. Hallelujah. All glory, all honor. He loves to hear you praise him. Learn how to praise him. Learn how to fawn over him. Hallelujah. Just fawn over him. Kiss him. Hallelujah. The Bible says, kiss the Son quickly, why, lest he be angry. Hallelujah. Kiss him today. Love him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how dear he is. Tell him that we're aware of the price, and we're aware that we're not even aware of how much he sacrificed. Hallelujah. Get real with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Invite him in. Say, Lord, I invite you in, Lord. I want to come into the secret place. I invite you into my home. Lord, I want to find a place there, and I want you to be there. And I want to be there, Lord, and I want to come into the secret place. I want to come into your perfect presence. See, what you're doing now is you're making covenants with him. Hallelujah. You're erasing all the past, and you're saying, from here on, Lord, we're going to walk down life's road together. The path that you've set up for me, Lord, let me see it again, because I'm going to get on it, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm going to forget about myself. Less of me. Let me die out, Lord, that you may increase in me. Hallelujah. There's only one way to go through this life, and it's with the Lord and on the path He's laid out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Honor the Lord, and He will honor you. I say unto thee, honor the Lord, and He will honor you. For I am the great King of the ages. And yea, I long to show my majesty, my strength. Yea, I say, you have partaken of a little of that which I would show thee, of that which I will impart unto thee. Rest in me, I say unto you, and open yourself up, because I am there. Yea, I will fill all of the places. I say, I will renew and restore all of the places. And you shall not look at things that are in the past and say, well, that's long gone now. It is too late for me. It is too late for this. It is too late for that I have prayed about. But I say unto thee that it is never too late for the King of Kings. I am King even over the time. And I say that I can renew and I can rebuild and I can restore the time. Yea, you shall never say it is too late. For with me there is nothing too late. Even as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, I say unto thee, and all hope seemingly lost, he cried out to me, and I say unto thee that I brought him exactly where I called him from the beginning, and there was no loss of time. Hallelujah. It was not too late. I say, in the storm, it was not too late. I say unto thee, in the sea, it was not too late. And I say unto thee, in the belly of the fish, it was not too late. For yea, I am even King of the fish. I prepare all that touches your lives, and it is never too late. You shall ask largely of me and see if I will not fulfill that which I have promised unto thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him for that. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You know, the Lord must want me to say this because He reminded me of it, and I'm through. But, you know, I appreciated both of our sister speakers. Hasn't it been wonderful? They've imparted things that we need to listen to over and over again until it becomes part of our bloodstream and part of our corpuscles and everything else about us. And one of the words I noticed, I had done a study on the words, the various words that are used for praise. In fact, just for your notes, Tahillah also means to recount or sing the Hallel. Hallelujah. And it even means to sing in tongues. Isn't that wonderful? That was about the last or next to the last of these wonderful meanings of the different words for praise. And did you know that there's many different words used for worship? Some means, as she said, she gave us a good account of some of them. And some means to get down on your knees. And some means to lay out flat. Different words. And as you read worship all through the Bible, there are different words used for them. And one word that I came across that impressed me, I only found it one time in the Bible. And it was where Jesus, and I'm really through, I'm just talking to you now, okay? And it is found where Jesus meets the little lady at the well. And she says, you know, after He reveals to her what her life is and everything that's going on, you know, she perceives He's a prophet. And right away, she's hungry to know truth. You know, there's a good sign you met the Master when you want to know truth and when you can discern truth. And so she said, you know, our ancestors say we're supposed to worship here. And you say we're supposed to worship over there. Where are we supposed to worship? You know, which is right? And how did Jesus answer? And I've only found this word worship used this one place. If it is, I haven't found it any other place. And He says, I say unto you, time will come, you're not going to be worshiping there, you're not going to be worried about worshiping there, but those who worship God will worship and must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the word He used for worship there is proskuneo. Proskuneo. And do you know what proskuneo means? It means, proskuneo means to fawn over. That's how I remembered it, because as I was loving on the Lord and I was saying, let's fawn over Him. Does anybody know what fawn means besides me? Well, it's an old-timey term. I guess that tells me where I am. let's see. How can we say, okay, brother, come here. Brother. It's to fawn over someone is like this. No. Let me show you. You go up to Him. Isn't He wonderful? Don't we love Him? You know, just nothing is too much trouble for Him, you know.
Just whatever it is that meets your need, that's what he does. And so if I wanted to pay you back, and we're supposed, the Bible, this is what this means. It means to fawn over, and it's got a couple of meanings, two or three meanings, but two in particular. It means that I go up to Brother Glenn and I say, "Brother Glenn, oh my goodness, you've lost weight. And this fits you beautifully. Oh, I don't think I've ever seen a vest. It's so good. And I love your hair. Oh, your hair is just, it's so soft. It's just like silk. It's just like silk. It feels like silk. You just love the feel of it. It's clean. You just keep yourself so clean. And I just love it. And you know, whenever you wear that red shirt, oh, it brings out your complexion and your beautiful eyes. Oh, they're beautiful. Have you been out in the sun? My goodness, your tan is perfect. It's just perfect. I just love it. I love it. You're so strong, your muscles. Oh, you're so strong. He's got a big muscle under there, really. I'm fawning over him. Proskuneo. Those who worship him much. Don't pay attention to where you worship him. Those who worship will worship. Proskuneo. You will fawn over the sun. You will tell him how wonderful he is. How thoughtful, how sweet he is, how delightful he smells. I mean, you will just fawn over him so much so. That's the other meaning of it for proskuneo, is that you finally love him so much that you just get down and you just lick his hand. And you just lick. It says, as a dog licks his master's hand. It means kiss. It means kiss. Even to the, even beyond the kiss, where you just, oh my goodness, you've got a little scar there, you know. That's what it means. It means to kiss or to even lick as a dog licks its master. I looked it up. Hallelujah. We just love him so much. We just kiss him. We kiss his arms in our minds. We love you so much, Lord. We just, and the Bible says what? Kiss the Son quickly, lest you be angry. We can kiss the Son by fawning over him, by loving him. Thank you. Thank you. And I meant all that. I've enjoyed it so much. Thank you for your patience today, but I hope it's been a blessing to you. It certainly has me. And I thank Brother Glenn, and I thank Brother Noel, so many that has made this what it is, and all of the other, Crystal, and everybody. I can't think of their names or anything, but it's just they've all made this conference so wonderful and so comfortable. The cooks, don't you like the food? If I talk another 5 minutes, it'll be ready. I'm sorry. Okay, so Glenn, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Father, I bless the people now in your name and in the name of Jesus. And I ask for the blood of Jesus because of this meeting, Lord. Because, Lord, they responded so to your word, I ask that the blood cover them and their households. And I ask you to bless them, Lord. You know what they need. And now I just speak a blessing over them. And, Lord, I thank you for the food being prepared by these precious people, Lord. And, Father, I pray that you will bless it to the nourishment and to the strength and to the health of our bodies. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.